just happened yesterday. It's been going on for over a year. And so God's been developing this story with her life and in her life. And so I'm just going to let her start wherever God wants you to start, and we'll go from there. Deborah.
Okay. Good morning. Well, it's been more than a year. It's been a life journey, actually. It started when I was yay little. I hear the Lord calling, and the Lord keeps calling and keeps calling. Cleansing streams, and I wasn't going to go because I had other obligations, and I didn't take the class, the 6 weeks class I've been studying with Naomi and Hector and Sharon and Al, and I was so stretched. And so I said, I'm not going to sign up the one-day event. I didn't take the 6 weeks class. I really can't do that. And then I think Sharon says, I didn't see you on the register list. I said, oh, yeah, I know. And then I had gone to someone about prayer, and they said, maybe you should go to the cleansing stream. So I did yesterday, but the enemy was attacking every step of the way. And I've had some serious medical issues the last year that have been debilitating physically. And as many of you know, I sell real estate. And so after a couple days of showing like 20 houses, it takes me a day or two to kind of regroup because I can't walk or move. And I really don't share that, and I haven't shared that. I just kind of plow through it the best I can. And so yesterday was one of those days. I got up and I couldn't barely move my hands. Anyway, it took me over 2.5 hours to get dressed. And I was so close, I says, forget it. And I said, you paid for it. Who cares? They can keep it, the money. And I was like, and I almost didn't go, but I came. And I sat here, and I was in so much pain. And I said, I'm going to hang out for an hour, and then I've got to go home. I feel I cannot do this and feel this bad all day long. So I started reflecting, and I made it through the end of the day, and Pastor Al chased me down in the parking lot and said, will you give a testimony tomorrow? Because I had gotten up and talked yesterday after what happened, and he says, and also, would you share about your sister? I said, my sister? So anyway, I thought back to 2016 when I first took the cleansing streams, and I had never really been introduced to the spirit of rejection and the spirit of abuse and the spirit of shame, all of which I held, and I was ashamed to tell anyone that. And when I was in the group, it was so healing, and I really had a huge healing. It was like BJ was saying, coming to the mountain and seeing the light and being in the light, and it was so great. Well, my employing boss said, okay, I came to work Monday, and he's a believer, and I have to credit him a lot for praying and encouraging and supporting and keep getting and keep going. And he says, all right, well, you had that mountaintop experience. Get back to work. I went, okay. So I did. But something was missing. I had this deep pain still going. And then I read in the newspaper, which was strange because I've been here almost 19 years. I never read the newspaper. I'm ashamed to say that, but I don't. And there was a little article about a grief class at the Methodist Church. So I says, okay, I'll do this. Well, during that class, you have to have someone that died to go into the grief class. And so my mom passed like 7 years ago, so that was the person. And during that period of that class, I was awakened to a lot of repressed, forgotten, told not to talk about child memories that threw me for a loop and put me like in the adult fetal position for months and months. And I was able to manage and get to work, but it was pretty rough. And at one point, again, that same employing boss said, you need to forgive your sister. And I said, forgive? So
it was very difficult because you won't believe the abuse that she went through as a young child. Yeah.
Well, and aside from all that, I did earnestly pray for forgiveness in my heart, and So I'm not sure, but my sister and I reconnected somehow, and she was in crisis. And
you hadn't been in touch with your sister for a long, long time.
Years and years and years, and she hadn't come to Christ. I had come to Christ years and years ago and over again. And I began to pray for her over the phone. Well, she went into tears, and I continued to pray and encourage her to go to church. And so then I went back to my employing boss. I said, you know, this is what's going on, because he knows the whole story. And he goes, wow, you're evangelizing her? I said, yeah, I know, right? So I encouraged her to get to church. So she did, and then she told me, she goes, I went to church. I said, oh, that's awesome. Well, there were like 3,000 people in her church, and I said, you need to get into a smaller group. So she came to me, and she says, I found a small group. I'm going to go tonight. I said, great. She came home. She says, well, I prayed to accept Jesus into my life. I said, oh, praise the Lord. That is so awesome. And so after that, I says, well, how many were in the group? And she says, about 300. I said, no, I mean a small group like Mark Thompson has or the DeBoers, like 12, 15 people, small group. So we started praying for a small group. Well, it wasn't long after that, I was talking on the phone. She had lost her driver's license, and she walks at a park like 15 miles from her house. And so she said, oh, my gosh, I lost my license. So I told her, I said, you know, God is stirring in your life somehow. So this morning, I texted her, and I said, can I share the lost license story in our story? And she said, yes. And she says, by the way, so here's the story. So she calls me this morning, and I get this verse. It's Revelation. She tells me she lost her license, and so she goes and applies for another one. So I said, something's going on. About a week later, she gets an envelope in the mail with the license and a business card from a lady that goes to a church like 3 blocks from her house. And this is what she told me today, Revelations 3:20. And I think they were going to put it up. Oh, they did. And so she called me and gave me this verse this morning, which says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me. I said, oh my gosh. I said, I need that for this morning for this testimony. So to make a long story short, she's very excited for the Lord. Our relationship and family has been restored. All the kids, everything's, I mean, I never, ever dreamed. I mean, hands down, I said, I am never, ever, ever talking to this person again. I cannot ever forgive. And then yesterday, during cleansing streams, Pastor Al brings up Mark 11:26. And so for me, those are two key verses, and Mark 11:26 tells us if we don't forgive, our Father doesn't forgive us. And so that was one of the hardest things I've done. And so other than getting here yesterday to do the cleansing streams, second year. So I get up and I walk to the aisle, I walk up to the line, and for, I don't know if probably most of you have done cleansing streams, I don't know or not, but there's a red tape that's the blood of Jesus. So I step up to the sign, the line, the tears are rolling down my eyes. I can barely walk. And I walk up to one of the intercessors sitting here today. And I look and I said, I'm a mess. He began to pray and pray and pray. And I think Sharon came up, Pastor Sharon. And I was closing my eyes and kept thinking, okay, God, you tell us where two are gathered and in your name and you'll answer our prayers. And I kept receiving the forgiveness and I kept thinking of, I'm knocking at your door. I was thinking of all these things that are going through my head. I'm saying, please, Jesus, heal, heal, heal. And all of a sudden, I mean, I don't know who saw me yesterday, but all of a sudden I had these tingly feeling coming up from the bottoms and soles of my feet. And I'm going like, oh, wow. And then it just permeated all the way up through and down. And that went on. And then I stepped back from the line, and I'm kind of going, I could move my hands, I could move, and I was going like this, and I was like, came back, went back and gave my intercessor another hug, ran back to my seat, started texting my fiance, yeah, and I'm saying, I can't believe what's going on. And in that moment, this other lady comes over to me. I don't know her, but I'm sure you all know her. She says, I have something to share with you. I said, yeah. She says, when I was watching you, she said, I was looking at you. And this lady doesn't know me. She didn't know my issues. She didn't know my medical history. She says, but when I was watching you, she says, I saw a warm light entering your feet and circulating and going around. I went, wow. So God is amazing. So that's my testimony. And
I just love the faithfulness of God. I just do. And so, Father God, I thank you that by the word of our testimony, by the blood of the Lamb, your word has gone forth today from Deborah. Touch each one of us and cause us to know that we never quit asking. You told us to keep on asking, keep on knocking, keep on begging you to fulfill the promise that you have given to us. And some of us here this morning are still chasing after that promise, but we refuse to quit because we know you're faithful. So God, thank you for the healing you brought to Deborah in more ways than one. First of all, with forgiveness and restoration with her sister and her family. Yes. And then physically, God, thank you for what you have done to touch her, but more than that, what you are going to continue to do in bringing that touch of healing and deliverance in her life. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
And I just want to say one more thing. For those of you that haven't been in cleansing streams, maybe all of you have, I don't know, but last year I said, on the last day, I said, this is the best thing since sliced bread. I'd do it again. I'm sad the classes are ending. I want to thank all the intercessors the anointers and the pastors, Sharon and Al and Naomi and Hector and Emily and Clint and Lisa and everyone that was here. And what a wonderful and amazing, amazing ministry. And I'm sold on this ministry.
Now she wants to be one. Yep. Awesome. Anybody else that was here yesterday? It's not about trying to measure up to that. That isn't it at all. It's because God is just as excited about what he did in your life. Okay, here we go, Meg. She's got it all written out, too. Okay. Oh, she's got notes here.
I knew that it would be like, oh, anybody have a testimony? And I would have nothing written down, but I'd have something to say. So I thought I'd write it down before I didn't have anything to say. So I think that cleansing streams is awesome because it's a day that you get to sit and open your heart and just let the Lord tell you the things he wants to tell you. It's really simple. You're not distracted by laundry or dishes or, I guess most people, kids. So three things that the Lord revealed to me yesterday, that I love to please people, and that sort of works out by working so that others want to be around me. And the Lord told me that you no longer work for men, which means that I get my instruction from the Lord and my approval from the Lord. So I don't work for the approval of men anymore. Well, so the fear of failure was another thing. If I make one too many mistakes, I'll be turned away or fired from my job, or people will stop wanting to come over to my house, those sorts of things. And the Lord said, I will not leave you nor abandon you, meaning that he will stay no matter how many mistakes I make. And he's not scared of my mistakes, and he's there. He wants to be there with me. Another thing is self-rejection, which I didn't actually know existed. but it does. So most of you have met Cole, my husband, and I think he's over there. I think he's incredible, and most.
I agree.
Yeah, most people who meet him agree. So, what started to happen is that I would get into a thought process that ended with me thinking the Ingram family could really use a wife and a mother who's like really just got it a little more together to stand beside Cole. So that feels. It felt hard to argue with sometimes because I feel like he has it together. And it didn't just start now. I used to think that my parents deserved a better daughter or that my friends deserved someone better to listen to their life. Yeah, it's a lie. And it's hard to give someone encouragement when you are always arguing with the encouragement that the Lord gives you. So it's hard to disseminate that when you're not letting it resonate in your own heart. So, So during the prayers, I actually had to say that I am valued and worthy just by who I am. And I was like, I'm not sure that's true, but it is true. So, that I am valued even though I have bad attitudes, even though I don't do everything perfect, even though whatever the things are in my life that I'm doing. But, so these things, the reality is that they're broken off. They're end, they're done, right? So the other reality is that I was locked. So it's kind of a picture I got. I was locked and chained in a dark, cold prison cell. And light has broken through. The door is open, the chains are broken, and my captors are, they went on vacation. There's no one there anymore, okay? But I'm still there. I can either choose to stay in that prison cell and choose to live in that place because it's comfortable and it's a place that I know and I know how to live there. Or I can choose to trust the Lord and walk out, walk through the door, walk up and out of this prison and stand in the light and learn to exist a new way. I can choose to learn how to address problems, how to address coal, how to receive encouragement from the Lord and not argue against it. Or I can keep going back to the prison cell and let those things just consume me again. Even though the chains are broken, now it's my turn to learn how to walk in new life and transformation.
Isn't that good? Wow. That says it all right there. That is. Okay, healing and deliverance. I'm not going to answer all your questions this morning, and it's going to be brief. I'm going to keep this short as possible. Father God, I just come before you right now, and I pray that give me the precise words that need to be communicated so clearer understanding can be given to us. And even to myself, God. As I speak, let them be words that speak to my own heart. Thank you, Jesus. Healing and deliverance is a biblical mandate. As a biblical mandate, it's in your notes, healing and deliverance as a biblical mandate has become one of our core values. If you know anything about our church, we have a number of core values. Missions is one, teaching the word, small groups. But one of the core values is healing and deliverance. Over 20 years ago, we began a journey to recognize and implement this mandate. God has given us direction and counsel as to how to make this aspect of spiritual warfare, and that's basically what it is, practical in everyday life. It is not just a life message, it is a life practice and action. Spiritual warfare is part of our daily walk, Ephesians 6. BJ mentioned that this morning. powerful passage of scripture. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. We wrestle against principalities and powers. We are to be aware of the works of the devil, but this is very, very, very important that you get this. We are to be aware of the works of the devil, but never to make it our focus. You remember, what you focus on, in essence, becomes what you worship. And so if you focus on the negative, it controls your life because that's what you focus on. If you focus on the positive, that becomes what you focus on and it controls your life. So if you focus on Jesus, basically what this says, then that becomes your worship. So God doesn't want us to be constantly trying to find a demon under every bush like people say. No, it's not about that at all. It's about focusing on Jesus, and then what happens out of that as you focus on Jesus, he shows you. He uses tools like cleansing stream to show you what's missing or what needs to be taken care of. That is demonic. And we're going to be getting into more of that. James 4:7, one of my favorite scriptures as it relates to the whole issue of spiritual warfare. And this is what it says. Therefore, submit to God. And that therefore comes right after the instruction that James is giving to the church as it relates to the spiritual atmosphere that's in their life. For instance, in verse 4, he says, adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world and makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you think that the scripture says in vain, the spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously, but he who gives more grace, therefore he says, God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. And so as we humble ourselves before the Lord, we are able then to submit to God and resist the devil. What does it mean to submit? It's a military term, which literally means to rank under the authority of. And this is how I like to picture it, even as walking in the Spirit. And Justin is going to be giving some messages on gifts of the Spirit and that kind of thing coming up here before long. And it means to rank under the authority of God. And so picture it this way. I am under the authority of God and his word. Under it. That's submission. What is rebellion? It's this. When you place yourself above the authority of God and his word, that's resistance. That's rebellion. And all of us are guilty of that one time or another, in one form or another. And so what God does, because God is a faithful judge and he is a jealous God, like James says, because he's a jealous God, he will convict us and convince us that we're going down the wrong track, that we're leading ourselves down a road of resistance against him, not submission to him. So, the word resist, that's in your notes there, paragraph 3. The word resist is a compound word meaning to stand against or to stand in opposition or oppose something. It is the attitude of one who is, get the word, fiercely opposed to something and therefore determines that he will do everything within his power to resist it, to stand against it, and to defy its operation. Resist the devil. So that means you have to be active. You can't be passive. Yeah. It's an activity that you set by the act of your will and you choose and you say, I am going to stand against everything and anything that's inconsistent with the nature and character of God in my life. I'm going to stand against it. I'm going to resist it. But what's the first requirement? Submit to God. Come under the authority of who God is. And who God desires to be in your life. What he desires to be in your life. That's spiritual warfare in a nutshell. Yeah. Roman numeral 2, demonic activity is deceptive. I'm going to use the example of Peter, Matthew chapter 16. Matthew 16. In this passage, it's right before Jesus is going to the cross. We're going to pick it up with verse 21. Matthew 16, 21. From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and the scribes and be killed and be raised the third day. This is the key verse right here. Peter took him aside. Literally, what that pictures, what that word pictures, is not just, come here, Jesus, I want to talk to you. No, this is what it pictures. This is the word. It just, come on, you come here. I'm going to tell you something. That's what Peter did to Jesus. Yeah. You see how, you could almost picture Peter just doing this. It says, Peter was very intentional about his commitment to Jesus. He's a believer. He's a follower of Jesus. If anything could be done to keep Jesus from suffering, Peter was going to get involved. I'm going to stop this nonsense. Little did he realize that his zealousness and warfare was motivated by his own deception. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever been involved in an activity that you were very, very, very zealous about, only to realize you were deceived? I think we all have. What is that? Deception. That's the enemy using something very, very good. Peter's motive was very, very good. But the enemy used it in his life personally. There was so much that Peter did not understand or know. And this is what Jesus' response to him was, you are an offense to me. Can you imagine what Peter felt like when Jesus said to him, you have just offended me in the worst possible way? If I were Peter, I'd just be kind of taken back like, wow, I thought I'd be applauded. For you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men. Satan, get out of here. Now, he wasn't saying, Peter, get out of here. He was addressing that which was being used in Peter to defy, to refuse to come under the submission of the Word of God, the calling of God in Jesus' life. But the words, this is this last sentence, but the words from his mouth, from Peter's mouth, exposed his pride, his ignorance, and enemy deception. And this opened the door to even more demonic activity. So turn with me to Matthew 26. See, Peter didn't get it. He did not. Jesus confronted him. He said it like it was, and yet Peter doesn't get it. Verse 32, Matthew 26. But after I have been raised, I will go before you to Galilee. Peter answered and said to him, even if all are made to stumble because of you, I will never be made to stumble. There's no force that can make me stumble. Well, we know the rest of the story. Put yourself in Peter's shoes. You're now at this point. You know you have stumbled. And the word for stumble there means to fall badly. You know you need to take responsibility, but you don't know what to do about it. You feel like a failure. You feel like there's no hope for you. That's Peter. Depart from me, for I'm a sinful man. I can't be around you. But who was it that Jesus said that the disciples were supposed to go tell first after the resurrection? Go tell the disciples and Peter specifically, he said. I have not given up on him because I know I have something much, much, much more powerful than anything Peter has ever experienced in his life. So turn with me to 1 Peter 5. We're going to get a message from Peter. This is what Peter says in light of spiritual warfare that he learned from stumbling. 1 Peter 5:5. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves, rank under the authority of your elders. Yes, all of you, be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. What was the first thing that Peter had to learn? Humility. He had to learn how to swallow his pride. Verse 6, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him. There's that word again. Steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by the brotherhood, your brothers in the world. And may the God of all grace, who has called us unto eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a little while, perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Now, that is a powerful testimony. But guess what? Peter would have never had that testimony if he wouldn't have had that experience that day when he was confronted by Jesus. Yeah. So don't give up on yourself. Don't quit. Don't stop now. No. Submit to God. What I'm going to do is I'm just going to read from James 3, 13 to 18, those verses of Scripture. I'm not going to make any comments on it. But I want you to take these thoughts and I want you to meditate on them. James 3:13, demonic wisdom is destructive. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy, anybody here this morning with bitter envy? Anyone here this morning with self-seeking? Don't boast. because in boasting you're lying against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. Folks, it's time that we call it what it is. Envy is demonic. Call it what it is. But no, we just say, well, there's just some things I just, you know, struggle with. No, call it what it is. Demonic. And when you partner with demons, notice what happens. It brings about confusion and every evil thing. Demons begin to partner with each other and bring confusion. Any of you living in a world of confusion and wondering why? I'll guarantee you, there could be at least one reason, and that is you have unwittingly, just like Peter, partnered with the demonic voice of the enemy. Yeah. Call it what it is. It's time to call a spade a spade. That's why Sharon and I got involved with deliverance ministry. Because all of a sudden, we woke up to the fact there was stuff in our own life that we had been tolerating way, 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 way too long and trying to explain it away as something of the flesh. Granted, the flesh will help you develop that all. But once you begin to partner with things of the flesh and you justify the things of the flesh and it gets stronger and stronger, pretty soon there's a demonic force that comes in and joins you in that and you're stuck. You're stuck. Yeah. Addictions of every kind, you name it. Call it what it is, demonic. So the demonic wisdom is earthy, sensual, soulish, devilish. Devilish is the best translated word for, is best translated, demonized. It depicts a person whose mind and emotions come under the influence of demonic spirits. The word for envy is zealous, from which we get our word zealot or zealot. It describes a person who is fixated, obsessed, and fanatical, an extremist on the threshold of becoming militant. It promotes strife because of self-seeking. It also promotes confusion, which is a word depicting evil, disobedience, disorder, and anarchy. It ends all kinds of demonic activity partnering together. This is serious stuff, folks. And what have we done? Overall, basically, in the evangelical church as a whole, in Christianity as a whole, we've glossed over this, trying to explain it away. No, call it what it is. Demonic. Yeah. And so, for your small groups this week, the question on the bottom, are there any negative influences in my life that I need to recognize as demonic? And if so, what am I going to do about it? Or if you're not in a small group, that'd be some good personal time with the Lord. But let me come back full circle as we close. Don't focus on demons. Don't focus on demons. Focus on Jesus. And as you focus on Jesus, and you live in his love, he will show you just like he showed Peter. Sometimes very kindly, and sometimes not so kindly. Sometimes he'll grab you by the nape, your neck, and he'll shake you real good to get your attention. Yeah, I know. I've had it happen. Yeah. So I'm not going to, Sharon and I are not going to stop now with a ministry of healing and deliverance. You heard the testimonies this morning. You heard what God is doing and continues to do in people's lives. Open your hearts to the ministry of the Holy Spirit to let him do his work.